This is Nolan Financial Radio with Tara Nolan from Tara Nolan Advisory Services. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Tara provides her clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Nolan Financial Radio with Tara Nolan.
Hello, and welcome back to Nolan Financial Radio. My name is Chris McKinney from Nolan Financial Partners. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 719-210-4242 or visit us online at nolanfinancialpartners.com. And while at our website, click on the radio page, check out our past shows, and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Please don't hesitate to reach out to us with questions or set up a face-to-face virtual meeting. So most people, regardless of age, recognize that they should be putting money away for retirement. Whether through a savings, a 401k, or other retirement income tools, have enough money to see you through the retirement that helps you thrive and not just survive is essential. But how do you go about saving for retirement? It's very different for different points in your life. So during the show today, we're going to look at how you should be saving for retirement during three key phases of your life: ages 25 to 34, 35 to 44, and 45 to 54. So let me note here at the outset that if you're already past any of these age categories, you'll still hear a lot of useful information that you can put to work in your own financial strategy. You know, the stuff that you do from 25 to 34, there are things you should be continuing to do when you're 45 to 54, right? So you want to continue to have those things going on. But before we get into the details of today's topic, let me introduce you to my co-host, Tony Shore, who's here today to lighten the mood and keep us on track.
Well, I don't know about that. Lighten the mood, yes. Keep us on track. That's your job, Chris.
That's true.
You're the organized one here. But I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm eager to hear how retirement changes and saving for retirement changes as we age, as we progress. This is going to be an interesting topic. But first, how have you been?
I've been excellent. I'm so happy that we're moving away from winter and we're able to get outside more. I don't know if it's like this where you are, but this is the windy time of year. I grew up in Oklahoma. It was windy there. Now I'm in Colorado. It's windy here. And so it's always windy April, May. May winds, April winds.
Especially out where you're at. You're not in the city, right? With the block of stuff to block the wind. It's wide open land out where you're at, right?
I feel like I'm on the edge of the plains. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Kansas is, if you look real hard, you might be able to see Kansas because it's that flat as you look east.
Right. Well, I grew up in Worthington, Minnesota on the plains. That's the literal plains. That was sure. Where Little House on the Prairie was set, is near where I grew up, right? So it is flatter than a pancake out there, and the winds are always crazy where I grew up. So when I go down and visit, but now I live up in Stillwater, lots of trees closer to the Twin Cities. We got Minneapolis and St. Paul to block the wind from us. We're on the river. There's hills and a few little hills here anyway. It starts to get more hilly where we live. So not so much wind, but I'll tell you, in Worthington, Minnesota, where I grew up, it's out on that farm. It's just, you can see for miles, which is good and bad, but everything just comes straight across.
Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up in Oklahoma, about an hour away from Stillwater, Oklahoma, by the way.
Oh, that's funny.
But a few weeks ago, they had 13 tornadoes in the state.
Yes.
It was.
Isn't that crazy? The whole Midwest in Omaha, Nebraska had a bunch, too.
Yeah.
There was a line down Omaha, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's right in that. What do they call it? The tornado belt or whatever.
Tornado Alley.
Tornado Alley. Yes. Yes.
So the Tornado Alley extends from southwest Oklahoma up to Ohio.
Yeah. I forget what the count was. On total tornadoes in the U.S. over that 2 day period. I think it was,
I know, crazy. 13 for just for Oklahoma.
Oh, it was like 45 in a day or day and a half. That's spread across like three or four states. Yeah.
Yeah. My sister actually went to her hidey hole. She's got a steel box in her garage. Back after the Moore tornado in 2003, I think, a lot of people put in these steel boxes in their garages, and so it can keep them safe during a tornado. But if you live in Oklahoma and you're or anywhere in Tornado Alley, you need to have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. Just like if you live on the coast in Florida for hurricanes, or if you live in northern Minnesota, blizzards, you got to be prepared.
Right. Right. Yeah. 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 Up there, when you get blizzard, it can go on for days and days. You got to have food. Always make sure you have enough.
You can get four to six feet of snow at once, and you have to, and the temperature can drop, you know, to 20 below zero, no problem, actual temp, and then the wind chill's like 50 below. You just can't go outside at that point.
Do you ever lose power or water?
Oh, yeah, you lose power. Not water. I haven't really ever lost water, but power all the time. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
we lost power to winds here a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we actually lose power less to blizzards and more to thunderstorms, lightning, and high winds. Then they'll blow out transformers. That's typically what it is. Once in a while, when the temperature, if there's a blizzard and it's blowing and it's snow, once in a while you'll lose power, but typically not during cold temps. Don't do it here. Our power lines are usually buried under the ground or well maintained. They carry enough current. They have a little bit of a heat to them, so it's not a problem. But more lightning and winds, but blizzards, it would be bad if the power went out for any amount of time when it's like 20 below zero, because you but people do have generators here, so
I'm looking at investing into a backup battery.
That's good too. Backup batteries. Yep, that's that. A lot of people, and they're getting better. You know, backup batteries can power a lot more now.
They're getting better, and they're getting safer too. The lithium ferrous phosphate, so it's basically iron batteries are a lot safer than the lithium ion batteries.
For homes. Yeah, because lithium ion can heat up in a house.
Runaway. Thermal runaway.
That's why initially like phones and laptops got too hot and burned.
Yep.
So exploding phones and laptops was a problem for a while, but they're finding ways to fix that. So, which is good. Now, saving for retirement at three different ages, what's the first age category? What's step one for somebody?
For 24 to 34 year olds, step one is just learning about what all your options are and having an idea, general idea of what you should be doing, kind of where you can do. You know, it depends on your employment situation. And a lot of times, I know retirement's several decades away, but that first step is check with your employer to see if they have some kind of qualified retirement plan, like a 401k. 401ks are great because you can put up to $23,000 in them. And then a lot of times there's matching, all those kind of things. Now, different organizations have different types of 401ks called 403Bs, 457s, things like that, depending on the type of entity you're working for. So they may have different names, but they all kind of have the same IRS tax, qualified tax advantages.
Sure. So understanding your options obviously is important, and how they fit into your broader financial strategy. That's really important, and especially getting started on those retirement accounts when you're younger. Your 401k, your 401ks, 403b, 457, whatever type of employer-sponsored retirement plan is available, take advantage of it, right?
That's right, because the faster you can get your money out there working for you inside some type of qualified plan that you don't have to pay taxes on right now is a big deal, right? So get that money out there working for you in some kind of tax deferred, so your money grows tax free. That's huge when you don't not having to pay 25 to 30% taxes on the growth of something. If you put money into an unqualified investment, you're paying those taxes on those dividends, the growth, the various things, depending on how you've invested. You may be able to pay a big tax bill every year. So, and that could hurt your spending plan for that year if you all of a sudden you have this huge tax bill because, you know, your investment went nuts. Just say you had a mutual fund that was at $20 at the beginning of the year, then it grew great. It has a ton of money in it. Now it's at $30 at the end of the year. Now you may have a big tax bill.
Sure.
Because what mutual funds do is they hand out dividends, they divide, they do things that they push the tax burden back down to you. So
right.
Getting that money into a tax qualified system makes it so you're not having to pay that tax right now.
Yeah.
And that can be a big deal for somebody between 24 and 34.
Oh yeah. That's huge.
That's income levels. Yeah.
That's a great point. So, and there are other advantages with employer sponsored plans, right?
That's right. Because you get that matching. That's a huge matching potential.
Yeah.
If you're getting a dollar for a dollar, that's 100% return on investment, right?
That's huge. Yeah.
So you want to get that matching. Now, a lot of employers will do, like, if you put in the MAC or a 5%, they'll put in 3%. So,
right.
And something like that. So it may not be one for one. Maybe it's, you know, 3 for 1 or 5 for 2 or something like that. But every dollar that you get,
even so, yeah, it's free money.
It's right? free money. So you need to take advantage of that. Your employer wants you to take advantage of that because they get some tax breaks by providing that matching. So don't feel like you're taking advantage of your employer. This is something you really need to do.
Sure.
Now, if your company doesn't offer a sponsored plan, you still have options, right? There's personal or individual IRAs or Roth IRAs. Those are really great things to do. You can't get quite as much money in those, but it's a way of starting to put money into a position that gets that tax deferred growth. And so you kind of need to sit down with a professional, decide which one's right for you, though, because an IRA might be better. A Roth might be better. It's just depends on your situation.
Right. And I don't think you have to have an economics degree to know that you should never leave money on the table just sitting there. So take advantage of the match and look at all the options, whether it's an IRA, Roth IRA, or an employer sponsored plan.
That's right. So the next tip is creating a backup fund, right? Now, this backup fund, also called an emergency fund, will help you if there's any kind of unexpected expenses. Say you lose your job, and so you have a transition time, and you need some money during that time. Say, you know, something goes wrong with your house, AC goes out, heat goes out. Maybe the windows are just falling apart. You need new windows. So having a backup money for some kind of eventuality is really important. You know, and the guide is 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. You can also do 3 to 6 months worth of your income. That's an easier guide sometimes to go off of. So just whatever.
Yeah, your take home, 3 to 6 months of your take home.
Yeah, take home.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good one. An emergency fund. You've talked about the importance of that on past shows, Chris. That's huge. Everybody needs one. You never know when the furnace is going to go out, or you're going to need a new vehicle, or something like that happens, or unexpected health costs. So that's huge. Now, all of this, though, you need to work with a financial professional like yourself. That's right. Let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you.
So if you'd like more information about what you're hearing during our show today, give us a call at 719 210-424-2142 or visit us at our website, nolanfinancialpartners.com. So while at our website, check out the radio page and subscribe to the radio show from via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can listen to past shows. So today we talked about the what to do between 25 and 34. Now we're going to talk about 35 to 44.
Ah, okay. So what's the first thing we should think about during this period of time?
So now we need to reexamine that qualified plan, that 401k or whatever we have through our employer, and make sure that we're investing the max, right? So that max is $23,000 for 2024. That's $1,916 a month. So that's a lot of money, I know, out of your spending plan, but it's worth it. Max it out. This is a time when you're starting to make more money. And so make sure that you're capturing that growth of your income and making sure you're paying yourself as well. So that's what we call paying yourself first. So you really need to reexamine it. You also want to examine how that's invested. Okay. You want to start thinking about asset allocation. You know, where are those dollars going? Are they spread out enough so that it grows and is doing the right things for me? And I want that higher rate of return, right? So there's the 401ks, the HR departments run those typically, and then you can go in there and you can tell them where that you want that money invested so you get the most out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's huge. And a lot of people I know in their 30s and 40s, Chris, are juggling family related expenses. But even with that, I think it's important to keep an eye on retirement and not shove it aside completely. Right.
That's right. So that's why that emergency fund, having some liquid assets is really important for anybody between 35 and 44. That's the time when you can get hit with things that are kind of unseen that are expensive, because you're starting to get older. There might be a health issue. There may be something. There's lots of different things get hit you in that age time. You've got kids. Maybe they need something. Maybe they need to be at a private school for their educational needs, depending on your location, and that's something we don't plan on because a lot of us went to public. Most of us went to public school, but these days a lot of people are biting that bullet and sending their kids to private school so they can get a better situation, better social situation, better learning situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important. And you definitely want to watch things like credit card spending, obviously, yes. Use them sparingly, right?
That's right, because the credit card interest is out of sight right now, and so you really want to have that liquidity so that you can make sure you pay those off. Or if you have to do something nutty and get a personal loan to pay off a credit card, you can do that. You don't really want to dip into those retirement funds because now that retirement account is not working for you anymore. So you really need that liquidity so that you have that flexibility in your spending plan.
Yeah. Yep. We all need that. That's for sure. And work with a financial professional. Once again, that's really, really important. Now, there's no way I'd want to manage my investments on my own. And that's where you come in. So
yes.
I encourage our listeners to give you a call. So what about investing for 35 to 44 year olds?
So in investing, they should start looking at investments that are kind of outside of, their employer's accounts, things that they have a little bit more control over that they can start to use. And they should have those assets that are maybe not quite as aggressive when you were 25 to 34, because you may need to use some, but it doesn't mean you don't want to take part of investment growth, right? I wanted to mention something. So 529 saving plans, these are things people start thinking about when they're 35 to 44 to setting up college for their kids. There's something that isn't discussed is you can use 529s also for the grade school. You know, so you can use that money for that.
Yeah, it's not just higher education anymore. You can actually use it for grade school too.
Yeah. And there's some neat little tricks that we can tell you about that some of our clients have used that can really help defer some taxes for you. So
yeah. Yeah. And we all want to defer taxes.
That's correct.
Right. that's the goal. So, yeah. Saving for college education, yes. At this age is really smart. A lot of parents start to do that. What about insurance? Where does that factor into this age category?
Well, yeah. So a lot of people have kids and they have a family and they want to take care of them. So they start looking at things like term life insurance. They start having assets. So they start looking at umbrella insurance. Umbrella insurance can help you with all your stuff, right? If you ever get sued or you get in a bad car wreck and you owe a doctor $7 million because you T-boned him, umbrella insurance can help with that. I had a client that he was the doctor that got T-boned and he came in and he had a huge paycheck out of it because all his earnings for the next 20 years had to be paid. So that you can imagine that's a pretty nice sum for somebody that was a surgeon. But after the wreck, he couldn't use his hands anymore because they were wavy after the wreck. So yeah. He was totally, you know, disabled from being able to do his job.
Yikes.
So it was a bad situation anyway. The next thing is disability insurance. Speaking of getting hurt, you know, if you're on the job, say you're a tradesman and you're not working, you're not getting paid. And so having that disability insurance to protect your family from your loss of income, that's really important. Making sure you have the right health insurance. And then the last type of insurance is permanent insurance. So permanent insurance is a little bit different and it can cover things like long-term care, can cover an emergency fund needs. There's a lot of things it can do. So it's really a little bit complicated to see how to use that. But it's something you should look at as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important insurance at this age. Now we've covered the first two age categories, but before we get to the third, once again, I know you love talking to our listeners out there, hearing from them, helping them out. How can they get a hold of you?
You can reach me at 719-210-4242. Check out our website at nolanfinancialpartners.com. That phone number is 719-210-4242.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Chris. This has been a great show so far. So the 45 to 54 age group is next, right?
Yeah. So now we're starting to actually think about retirement at this point, right?
Right.
Because we're starting to see that our kids are getting old enough. They're getting ready to move out, hopefully.
Once you get into your 50s, you got to really seriously look at that retirement plan.
And so, yeah, you really want to have a pretty good retirement plan fleshed out, right? You know, plans may change and that's fine, but you want to have that plan. So you need to meet with a professional and get a plan. And then start to, hopefully that financial professional, like myself, will start talking to you about the things that maybe you're leaving on the table. Maybe catch up contributions at your 401k. Have you changed how that looks, what that looks like? Your HR department's not going to call you and tell you, okay, they're not going to take care of you that way. So you need to make sure that you're doing all the things you can to prepare for that eventual retirement. So I had a client, a couple came to me, they were in their early 50s, Tim and Lisa, and they had $3 million in 401ks, right? And so they're like, can we retire? I'm less like, you know, let's look at it. Let's make a plan. And so sitting down and making the plan, we could show them, okay, here's what you're going to have. Okay. It's not about, you know, how spending the most money. It's about, here's what you're going to have based on what you have. And we don't sugarcoat it. We show them, okay. And we want to make sure that we have this for backup. So, because without backups, any things can go wrong. So we showed them how they could do it. They decided to put it off for a couple of years, because every year you don't enter into retirement, that's another year of retirement you don't have to pay for.
Right.
And exactly. You're going to spend more money in retirement when you're younger than you are when you're older, because you want to do stuff.
Right. Those first couple of years, travel, spend money on the grandkids.
Yeah.
Check off items on that bucket list. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Get that.
Well, you're still healthy enough to do it.
Get those hobbies, get the tools for your hobby or whatever you're trying to do. If you want a garden, you know, have somebody come in and bring in some soil and make it right. Do it right. And here in Colorado, you have to have, an atrium. You have to have stuff over your garden. Otherwise, the hail will get it.
Yeah. So what about working in retirement? A lot of people do go back to work in retirement, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And there's a lot more options out there for part-time work. Maybe you work as a consultant if you've been involved in a business, one type of business for a long time. You've got a lot of valuable information. Maybe you don't just quit. Maybe you start your own consulting company, right? And then now it's a company. Well, now we have a business. So starting a business before you retire is something that a lot of advisors talk to their clients about, something we talk to our clients about, because you don't want to maybe just do nothing in retirement. Maybe you want to have something that you kind of do every day for just a little bit and checking on those things. Because who wants to just sit around and watch Netflix all day? Nobody. That's who.
Well, hey, we're out of time. So one more time before we go, let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you.
Speaking of, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to give me a call at 719-210-4242. We'll set up a complimentary consultation. If you mention the radio show, I will give you a book called Money Moves by Tara Nolan. And, check out our website, nolanfinancialpartners.com. We're pretty proud of the colors of it. It's pretty. So check us out over there. You can look at some reads, listen to some of our past radio shows.
All right, Chris, thank you so much. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Nolan Financial Radio with our host, Chris McKinney.
Join us again soon for another episode of Nolan Financial Radio. Take care, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you for listening to Nolan Financial Radio. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Tara Nolan at Tara Nolan Advisory Services. Call 719-210-4242 or visit the website at taraenolan.com.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.